Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit Golf Podcast fans. I've got Greg here. This is Brad. We are back for a late night recording.
Late
Greg,
night.
How we been?
Oh, busy. Busy, but good. Got to play golf yesterday. Can't beat that.
You did. Got to play in a kind of a memorial tournament. Sad time, but a celebration to remember.
Golf or live. It's always tough looking up that course or looking up that tournament online, because if you type in golf or live and it's LIV, because it basically, you pull up everything for Live Golf. But raised a lot of money for Liv, one of her paintings, and it always tugs at your heartstrings when we do the auction for that, because Liv is a little bit older than, probably maybe 6 months older than my daughter,
right?
And she made a painting, and it looked exactly like something that Elise would bring home from school. And the best thing about it is the wrestling community runs deep, because literally the number went all the way up, and that painting sold for $2,100.
There we go.
So,
yeah, I mean, that was a kind of a classmate of mine as well too. I mean, definitely somebody that I knew growing up. Obviously your relationship grew past of what I had, but that's always a tough thing to go through, especially when you know the person as well as you guys did. So, glad to hear it went well. Sound like your team played well. Sound like you played overall pretty solid. I did get out a little bit over the weekend, but nothing major. Playing a lot of golf with a little guy, which it's a lot of fun just to see him continue to grow on the golf course. And he played with a little buddy, and me and Steve, friend of the show, who's been on with us here, played with his son, and it was kind of cool when we sit back and we're like, when my oldest joined us, I was like, in 3 years from now, like, this could be three members of a team. And they're actually,
are they all going to go to the same school?
All will go to Woodgrove. Now his son's 1 year older than my little guy. And then, it would be, my oldest would be a senior if the three were to happen. But even if just the two, it's just pretty cool to see him grow. And maturity has to get a little bit better. They got a little silly on the golf course, but you got to grow. And it was fun to see them
once in a while. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That doesn't change.
But I will say they're more talented than maybe we were at that age. Maybe even we were in our early 20s at that age. So it's pretty cool to watch. So if you were listening to our last episode, we have started something. We are talking about the Loudoun County Top 20 Golf Holes. Not much of a criteria, something that we may create it ourselves, but holes that we remember, we enjoy playing, that we talk about. And maybe when somebody brings up the golf course, we are able to just think of these ones really quickly. So check out our last episode as we went through the bottom half of the our 10 through 20 section of the holes. A couple of them were doubled up, a couple were not, had a couple honorable mentions, but we're going to continue and we're going to work our way all the way down to our top holes, what we believe is some of the top holes in Loudoun County. And if I remember correctly, you were starting us off per hole. So where are we on number...
Number nine. Working backwards.
All right, let's rock.
I'm going to go, I believe you had this on your hole, so I'm going to brush that one off.
Okay. Right?
But I'm going to go on to number two of Algonquian, which is a long, once again, dead straight, par five. You can spray the ball a little bit. Yeah. All you got to do is you have that little, 75, 80-yard carry off the tee, depending on what tee you're playing, obviously. But you have that, kind of marshy area that you got to clear, but then, really, you can get after it. And as long as you're not spraying, if you're spraying it down the right, okay, you're on three. If you spray it...
Way right.
But yes. Yeah. But, if you you can kind of push it a little bit to the left, and you got a lot of open space there, too. But it's one of those where you just kind of, after hole one, maybe get all the swing you know, kinks out and then just really let loose on a hole. And let's face it, every single putt in Algonquin is pretty much straight. So it's a great birdie opportunity hole, especially if you're a long hitter. It should be an easy par if you're a decent hitter, and it can also probably give you some headaches if you're a spray ball hitter. But
yeah, I mean, two is a hole where it does start a tough stretch, probably the only tough stretch at Algonquin. You know, 2, 3, 4 play on the fairly tight side. Two's pretty open left except for one tree, but it does go right. And then 3 and 4 actually hug tree lines on both sides. Mm-hmm. So
Findable trees. You might be in the trees, but you're going to be playing out of it the entire time. Yeah. It's very playable.
But it's funny you said that about the greens. You know what? I teach and I work at, that is their home course. So I always, when the kids are playing, hey, where are we playing today? Hey, remember, Algonquin, center of the greens. Never read too much into the putt. You can make them from everywhere. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'm like, yeah, it is. So now, good hole. It does. It can make or break an early start at that round. It can make you have to chase some numbers, or it could get you a nice jump start because nothing to one. So, I mean, one should be a par hole. If not, give yourself a birdie look and then, you know, hopefully get yourself right around par.
I can get off the tee on one. I'm usually pretty solid.
Yeah. And that's, again, it's not a hard shot. It's just the first tee shot of the round. And so, but yeah, no, good hole. Good solid hole. My number 9 was already mentioned by yourself as well. That is the number 12 at Brambleton Regional Park, where you talked a little bit about some night festivities that may have taken place there, but we'll leave that for last episode if you want to check that one out. So I will hit one of my honorable mention is, and I will go to another par 5, Raspberry Falls number 18 par 5. A little bit of a risk reward if you get yourself pretty well off the tee. Another one where the tee is pretty far tucked up into the woods there up on the mountainside. But if you remember, you almost have to play dead straight and make a 90 degree wedge over, or if you can take it up or around the trees, it can be a little bit risk reward. And I've been able to do both, but I would say at a raspberry,
always tried to play that hole to where I hit my second shot to that opening. I think there's been a handful of times, obviously, where I've had to try and take it over the trees because I just maybe duffed a shot or top something, and you're just like, all right, I gotta go over it now. But I always try and like put myself there on my second shot. So I mean, I've definitely hit driver, pitching wedge, and then gone over.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Again, I've played many tees there. If you play up, it's definitely
another fun elevated tee box too.
Yeah, way up in the trees. Yeah. Not as far up as the number 3 we were talking about earlier, but I will say usually when I go for it, it's because I'm either in the hunt to be in the 70s or trying to stay under 90.
Yeah.
I've done plenty of times at Raspberry. So good finishing hole. It does end up right by the clubhouse. And again, you know, Raspberry gets spoken quite a bit on here. Another good player, Gary Player design. Not a huge hole, but I think it plays right around that 530, 540 mark from the tees we are usually consistently playing. So that's my honorable mention to fill in for my par 3. So we are at number 8.
I'm going to go to a par 3. I'm going to go number 9 on the Norman course at Lansdowne. Once again, part of the longest stretch in golf. The longest mile, if you will. Depending on what tee box you are, you got a pretty long cover, pretty much all water that you're covering. You know, you can go long a little bit, but it drops off and kind of goes out of bounds pretty quickly. But it's definitely like kind of one of those things where if you're having a bad front nine and you stick the green on 9, it just is a huge confidence booster for carrying you over into the back 9. And luckily, like when I've played there, I've actually played that hole fairly well for the most part. So
yeah, tough pin if it's far left. Yeah. It always seems to play a little bit more tricky. If it's right, it's something you can go after, but yeah, if you can, it's kind of weird because right behind that hole, it's got a little swell that goes down and then it's the mounds, but you don't see that swell. So like it comes into play rather quickly, but yeah, if you go over the mounds, you're dead.
Yeah.
And there's, it's not staying around for much.
You got to at least hit the green. If it rolls off the back, you're safe. But I mean, if you fly the green, you're gone.
Yeah, but I always remember if it's left, it's like, oh boy, this is a tough shot. Huge green area over there, but it's just a lot more intimidating over the water. The right, obviously over the water, but it's just a little bit more inviting to get to. So no, solid hole. A lot of good par threes and par fives here in Loudoun, as you can tell by our list. But I'm headed to another finishing hole. This is also a hole that you can see on TV. All right. Well, maybe not TV, maybe live stream. I'm not sure what Live is actually on.
I think I'm following you.
But we're headed to Trump National, and it's going to be their finishing hole right next to the waterfall. Par four, finishing hole. Tom Fazio design. About a 450. They probably play at about 470, 480, 490.
I was so bitter the waterfall wasn't on when I played.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty sight. I've been there one time when it's on, but I definitely will be on that live stream this year because I know they're coming. Liv is coming back to Trump.
They did not this
current year. They did a year or two ago, and I did not attend. But after being at the one last year with RTJ, I'm definitely going to take the family there. It's something we're looking forward to do. Probably on the Friday round, just to make it a little bit easier, you know, a little mental health day there at the end of the year. So beautiful finishing hole. It's got, you know, the clubhouse in the background, the waterfall. It is just, it's very picturesque. So that's for sure. Right. So headed to number seven.
I'm going to go back to, I mean, tell you the truth, for a course that we don't play a ton, this course has a lot of good holes, but I'm going to go to number five on Raspberry Falls. A slight dog leg right, if you will. But
par three, par four?
Par four, right after the uphill par three. Basically, you turn the corner, it's one of those holes where risk reward. You can just poke like an iron or a hybrid out in the middle of the fairway.
Well, hold on here before because I think I know, but you're talking about number six. So if three is coming off the mountain, four is a par five. Five is the par three.
Oh, I forgot number four. You're right.
Four is actually not a bad.
No, it's not. That's a good one too. It's number six.
So we're back on you can kind of go over the tree,
cut the tree at corner and try and drive the green or, you know, at least put it darn close. And sticking with my MO, I do like risk reward holes. Yeah. Obviously that's probably why I've driven my handicap up at times, but, you know, I also like having that confidence of like, I can do this. And yeah, so definitely. Basically number six, you're right. I screwed that one up.
Solid hole though. Again, another one, that pin, it seems to be back left a lot.
Back left with the bunker right in front there.
Makes it pretty challenging. If it's front right or on the front side, it does open it up a lot more, especially if you're trying to come in from the tee box. The wedge is reachable from any spot, but
yeah,
very good hole. Very good hole. I have had some coaching experiences there that I've seen some kids do some crazy things, not only golf wise on that hole, but, you know, other things that take place on the golf course that we're not going to really talk about too much, but, some crazy things going on in that hole. 'Cause it's one of the further ones away from the clubhouse there. So no, good hole. Good hole. So I'm going to go back to another. It's not a finishing hole. I would say it should be the finishing hole. And I don't think you've actually played here at Loudoun County Golf and Country Club.
Nope.
They have redid their number nine golf course, or number nine at their golf course. It actually, the green sits very close to the clubhouse. It really should be their finishing hole. Their finishing hole is a par three carry. It's a nice hole, but it shouldn't be number 18. This one should be. They redid the greens. They redid the greens on this hole. And it is, if you get a front pin, it's diabolical because you either have to like throw it 10, 12 yards past to keep it on the green because it's so sloped back to front. But if you come up short, you better get it over the crest or it's coming right back to your feet. So it's a really beautiful hole. Plays about 420 off the tees. And that's, they don't really have a lot of tee selection. So that's probably their back pin. I really do wish it was number 18. It was always fun playing high school golf matches there because usually they're nine hole matches. So it came down to a pretty tough pin, a huge green, but anything in the front just made it very tough to play. But nice course, a little dogleg right, good driver off the tee, gets you kind of a middle iron to a shorter iron in, and I mean, it was tough. It was a good little hole. So again, wish it was number 18, but you know, I didn't design the course. So,
mm-hmm.
So number six.
All right, I'm gonna go to Trump, but instead of its finishing hole, I did have that on my list. But I'm gonna go with number one, because number one, you walk up, you got a beautiful tee box that is right next to the falls right behind you. And it's a downhill kind of sloping, a little bit slight dogleg right. It's kind of, you can see the entire hole from the actual tee box. And I mean, you can, with all the trees gone now, you can see all the way to the Potomac there too. So it's a really pretty starting hole. You can spray it a bit too. But it's pretty wide open. Grip it and rip it off the bat.
Isn't it open? But from the tee box, it looks like it's a 20x20 landing zone.
Yes, because like I think maybe the optics of it.
Yeah,
right. The optics of it downhill and kind of swooping down, I think basically kind of screws with your eyes a little bit. But you can pretty much grip it and rip it right off the tee.
Yeah.
And put you down there pretty nicely. And green, if I remember correctly, guarded on both sides. Definitely on the left and a bunker on the right, kind of middle of the green. So if you miss middle right, you're going to be in a bunker as well. But tell you the truth, I thought that the greens were kind of cool. It was a little bit of sloping back to front. Not anything crazy where I'm going to have to throw it 12 yards by and have it suck back. But, you know, challenging hole, but really just a beautiful tee shot.
Good start at all.
Yeah.
It's a good start. I remember looking out there, and then you have this, you know, you don't play a course like that. It's called a championship course. They've hosted events there. I think a senior PGA tour event was hosted there before they did Live.
Yep.
And you're always wondering like, man, how tough is this? And you look out there and I was like, oh my gosh, the landing zone's like nothing. And then you got out there. I was like, man, I wish I would have known this beforehand. And everything. So, but yeah, definitely a good hole to get you going on that course. But yeah, beautiful with the waterfall going on the opposite direction.
And there, that course, I mean, has so many different tee box. I think if I remember correctly, like
six or seven.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that like certain holes have like upwards of nine.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. It's probably a course that you could easily turn around and like, you have to find where the live guys play. And they're probably like, pretty far back.
I played with the assistant superintendent there.
So he knew everything.
And he basically kind of gave me the lay of the land every single hole.
That's awesome.
Where he was like, you know, he was like, this is one where Trump, you know, asked us to add a tee box there because he liked the view better there. And like, so
yeah,
because like I looked at it, I was like, dude, I was like, you have like nine tee box options here. He goes, yeah. He was like, every time Trump's out here, if he sees something that he likes, he wants another one right there.
Hey man, if you own the course, you can do whatever you want.
Hell yeah.
Pretty sweet. You imagine all the times he does that when all his different courses that he plays. So, but yeah, no, that pretty good hole, pretty good hole. So I'm going to go back to my home course. I'm going to go to what is rated the number one most difficult hole. It is, I believe, you know, I've played with a lot of members that have been around, since the course has opened, and at one time when it was, designed and created early on, it was rated one of the top five most difficult holes in Virginia.
Oh boy.
Can't possibly say that's probably still the case. But number 12 at Stoneleigh, it's a par four. It is, it's the hole where we're coming straight out and you got to kind of land. If you go too far left, you're going to play a 200 yard shot in. If you go too far right, you're going to be up against the stone wall, potentially out of play. You can, from our tees, kind of cut a little driver into like a little landing area and then play up about an 80-foot hill to a pretty tough green to get to. But, you know, beautiful par four. It only plays like 380, 400 from the back. I do like it from the back because it obviously opens it up a little bit, where you can kind of feather a driver out there and just be able to play up a little bit more room. But when you play up, it's probably not a driver hole. You go too far, you're blocked out by a tree, and then depending on the pin, it plays almost 20 yards uphill. It's a pretty demanding hole. There's about three or four, and I think every time we play together, I always say, man, a par here, you pretty much gain a stroke on the field in any round.
I'm pretty sure that I've never parred that hole, and more than likely, I've had many blow-ups on that hole.
So what's funny is that you could probably talk to six of the eight people that I play the most with, and they'll tell you the same thing. It's one of the more challenging holes. And like, it's really weird too, because
might be my least favorite hole on that course.
The hole crowns right in the middle on the green. And so if it's a back pin, you have to play 20 up.
Yeah.
But then you got to take like seven back because you have to land on the crown, because if you land past the crown, it just rolls off to the green.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not one of my favorites.
And you're dead. Sure. And you're pretty much dead pretty dang close to the back of the green. So
yeah, it's not much room there. You get a little path to the next hole, but that's all you got there to save you. But it is one of the holes where, you know, it's kind of like there's 12 and 14 are kind of like the final two. If you can get through, I know you've got a couple scoreable options coming in that can maybe save a round or finish strong there. So, but it's a good hole. I mean, I don't know how many times I've stood on the tee box and had to let deer run by. I mean, it's, you know, it's not something you always get here Loudon, but definitely out my way. So number five, coming down the home stretch here.
All right. I'm going to stay with Stoneleigh and I'll go with the follow-up hole. So, Stoneleigh number 13, once again, another downhill. Something that just speaks to me about a elevated tee box on a par three where you have to, you know, hit a high tower and shot and hopefully it gets there. And, you know, one, I think no matter how many times you've told me it when we've played at Stoneleigh, I don't understand where Route 7 is and or where the wind is.
the wind on 11 is the wind you have to worry about on 13.
And I
always, because everywhere else you're blocked.
I always forget about that. So like, I mean, I constantly forget about it. But I mean, you know, I've played that hole well, I've played that hole bad, but like, it's just something about having that elevated tee box. Like you're right in somebody's almost backyard. You could probably toss a beer can up to their 100% deck.
Right in the garage.
And, you know, it's just a pretty hole where, you know, it's all carry pretty much.
Yeah.
Because there's
two tiers of stone walls.
Yep.
Got to cover both of them. I have in between it bounced on the green before.
The stone walls add a little aura to it. I'll use what the kids say, add a little aura to it. But it's just, it's, you know, a cool hole. I know that, you know, for some reason, this is turning into a trend, but a left side pin is tough to get to because if you land it on the right, you're in that down little bubble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a challenging hole, but it's also just, it's a fun tee shot.
It is. And it's always the one I like to always tell people, oh, it's a great hole to play from the back. Cause the back is like a 3 yard difference tee box wise. Than the blue. So it's always plays the same, but it's a good hole. That's a good hole. And again, that's the jump start. You get to that hole and then you're kind of like, all right, I got a tee ball off 14. And then it's kind of like, all right, let's end this round strong. So, pretty solid hole. I don't have that one, but that's a good one to have. So I'm going to head back to, Lansdowne, you know, where my brother is a member, and we're going to go to the RTJ course and I'm going to play the par three downhill as well to number 13. Same as the one you just said, number 13, that focuses is all over the downhill carry. And then there's a pond off to the left more. And usually it's drained, but there is usually a pond area there. And then it has a pretty large, wide green. Same
huge,
thing.
Huge right, green.
Right side, super inviting. Left side, you're like, oh boy, I better carry everything. Mm-hmm. And there's not much room. It's pretty narrow back there, but. Plays right between that 175 marker, but it definitely plays down to like 145, 150. You're definitely not hitting a full shot in there for that yardage. But, you know, RTJ course, actually right after another split fairway hole.
You like RTJ better than Norman, don't you?
Overall, I do. I think Norman's all red stakes, and so it's super, super tight. Right. There's not a lot of forgiveness there. Although I've been told they've taken a lot of trees out and it's actually a completely different look.
Okay. So
haven't been there in a while.
Shout out Brian. Let's get out of that member appreciation day.
Guest appreciation day. Yeah. So definitely get over there. He is, you know, unfortunately he is in Ireland right now playing golf. So,
oh.
No. Yeah. He's not
struggling. Tough life.
But good golf hole, you know, that's funny. You had par three, number 13. I had par three, number 13, just on a different course.
I had that on my list as well.
Oh, I'm getting you some. Well, I mean, all right.
I mean, like I said, it's perfect.
Good holes.
I'm going to go with my next one. I'm going to go back to Algonquin. Some Algonquin.
You like Algonquin.
Algonquin's a course I grew up playing. So like, you know, I have more, I even if I've played bad there, which let's face it, at the at the event that we played there this year, I played like absolute crap. But I mean, that was,
did it finish
last
then?
I did DNF.
As much as I talked it up
on how bad if I played, I was gonna get kicked off the course. I actually did not get kicked off the course. But I'm going to go with Algonquin number five, the par five. This is the dog leg left where basically you don't want to hit driver, but for some reason I kind of do all the time. Cause I just think that I'm going to, you know, bend it like Beckham and overdraw a driver or maybe toe draw it around that corner and put me in a perfect position to get there in two. I'm not a, and for some reason, I probably should just take it over the tree. But at the same time, like I always think that I can bend it like Beckham. I usually end up blowing it through the fairway and I'm out in the trees and then having to punch out of the trees. But it's just, it's one of those 90 degree left turns that basically is a cool little thoughtful par five where it's not just, oh, you're a big hitter, hit, you know, 310 yards down there and then you can get there in two. Let's face it, that green is probably the most guarded green on Algonquin.
It is. It's the front right's the only thing that's open. Otherwise, like from middle all the way left, they have that huge bunker that protects it. And that's what I was going to say. It's a weird hole because you can't bomb it off. So if you're going to go hybrid, that means you're trying to carry that bunker or just kind of thin it right through the two bunkers on the right side to hit that green. So it is a difficult one.
And let's face it, over the green, it's a downhill slant that goes nothing in the woods.
Yeah. I will say, now you've seen me hit my hybrid for 20 years because that's how long I've had the club. I used to be able to hit hybrid off the tee over the trees, but those trees have grown so much in 20 years that it's almost like you either got to really churn it or just figure out something else to do.
We'll go out there one night and chop that thing down.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few I could take some chainsaw to in different courses. That is definitely one there. I got a couple at Stone Lee that I think I could get members to pay me to go cut that thing down. But no, good hole. Another par five, not very long.
Nope.
I think off the tee, I don't know remember the number. It's probably in the fours, but it's not a driver hole. That's for sure. And my little guy in his big tournament he won, he ended up birdieing that hole. So that was
really good for him.
Now they started him out by the turn, so but still
Was he DOD off of there?
No, it was a wedge. He hit a wedge close, so he didn't have to go get there in two. He hit a wedge close. It was actually a pretty looking wedge too. It had some spin on it, which kids don't put a lot of spin because they don't have club speed, but it was nice. So all right, I'm headed to an opening hole. I'm gonna head back to Loudoun Golf Country Club. This is their opening hole. And they do things a little different there. They don't do tee times. It's kind of first come, first serve. It's a little bit different.
Do you put your ball?
Really? They have that, but I don't see people use that.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to a course where you just put your ball in there.
But it's a good hole. So it's an interesting hole. You got 18 coming in on the other side, so you're kind of dead left. You don't want to go. There's some trees up there because the backside of their small little 130-yard driving range is up there. Down the right, you have some trees kind of in your view. So if you're a draw person, it's not really a draw to start. And then it's got a creek that splits one and two because two comes back the other way. Mm. And this is the one you see when you drive by, right there by 7-Eleven.
Yep.
That is the two tee box and one green. And it is not a difficult hole, but it makes you come out of the gate being like, all right, what am I going to do today? Am I going to cut it? Can I hit a straight ball? Because it's not really driver. It's kind of more of a hybrid to long iron off the tee. And I've seen many, many people in high school golf tournaments, and I always relate back to them because they're entertaining to watch when you have 100 high school kids that some are really good, know what they're doing. Some just hit the ball and hope to find it. And when they play a draw, but they set up on the right side of the tee box and bring the trees even more to the play, it's like, guys, just move over. Like, and I remember telling a kid, I was like, I go, you hit a 3-wood draw. That's your best shot. I go, play from the left side of the tee box. He goes, well, I don't understand. And this is like a kid that went on to play college golf. And he was like, oh my gosh, Jesus, coach, that opened the hole up. To I was like, yeah, why would you start closer to a tree to hit at it and hopefully not hit it? He was, I was just trying to play over it. I was like, okay. And I'm telling you, it's like 40 yards. You're not really going to get a 3-wood or a hybrid up.
I mean, high schoolers, as soon as you teach them how to open the hole up, it's just game over.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many aha moments in being at the high school level with any sport or anything. Like, oh, that's why you've been saying that for a year and a half.
Yeah, they're too busy now saying 6-7.
Oh,
God, I hate that.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So, yeah, so hole number one, Loudoun Golf and Country Club. Moving to our top three.
We're going to start overlapping a bunch.
I think
unless I do have some Pleasant Valley holes that I can plug in there.
And I can confirm it is not Loudoun County. Yeah.
Dang, really? Man, my home course is in another county. Good Lord. Didn't know that. All right. I'm going to go to, we might as well overlap here, but number 18, RTJ, par 4, dogleg left, yeah. Once again, 90-degree turn up the hill, solid finishing hole most of the time. I think whenever I've played at RTJ with you and Brian, pretty much at that point, I'm just strangling something to try and break 100. And this court, that hole has kind of whipped my butt plenty of times.
But I do think if I remember the last time we did this, it was pretty dark. And
yeah.
You pulled driver. And I was like, dude, don't hit driver. You're going to hit it into the bunker. And not only did you hit it over the bunker, I think you hit it like 40 yards, like a 330.
I wasn't hitting driver well that day.
And you weren't even swinging that one hard. It just was one of those center of the club face jumpers that we randomly, we sometimes get
struggling. Yeah, I mean.
And I remember that was a tough one. But what's funny is you bring that hole up, flip that hole the other direction, and it reminds me of number 12 at Stone Lee. So instead of going up the hill to the left, it's kind of up the hill to the right. Now, the 18 green at RTJ is a lot more challenging than the one on 12.
Right.
For different reasons. But of course, 12's tough, but not like 18.
I mean, no.
It's just, yeah, that's a hole we could do without. But definitely a good hole. I don't know if I have it in my top three, but it's a good hole in Loudoun County, that's for sure. So I have, for my number three, is also a repeat from the number, what we say, number 13, Raspberry Falls, was the par 3 with the bunker down the ride. So I'm going to throw in my other honorable mention here, and it is going to put me back at Loudoun Golf and Country Club. Hole number 12, it's a par 5. It is a very interesting par 5 in the sense that it is so much. It's out. This is also the other green that you see from the road. This is on the far side of the long route 7, or business 7 right there. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful tee shot it's a beautiful shot off the tee. You can bomb a driver. This is one that you can just let loose. It does dogleg a little bit to the right. And on that second shot, you're going to go up to a very tiered green. Right in front of the green, it's like an 8 feet straight uphill tier to put you on that green. So it's even more than a turtle top. Like a turtle top's going to be the gradual. This is like straight up, and then it sits right there. And if you put a pin very close there, it's a very, very challenging pin because you're usually coming in with a wedge. I usually try to hit it as close to that hill as I can and try to chip up on if I've ever had that opportunity, but it's one of those longer par fives at the country club that on a short golf course. So it's one of the last ones you can kind of go after on the par five. It's just a nice little hole. I think I have it playing, what my notes say, but right around the 4-540 mark. So it is one of those tee boxes that go up the side of the hill as well too. So like you park, got to walk like 30, 40 yards backwards up the hill. So it's just a beautiful hole to put on there. Wasn't in my top 20, but definitely deserved mention as an honorable mention hole.
It's a beer hole where you grab beer and walk your 40 yards to the tee box.
Definitely. Definitely can. So, all right, down to our final two. What do you got?
All right. Like I said, we're overlapping a bunch. But I got number 6 at Brambleton, par 4. Once again, another over the water.
Yeah. Okay.
I've had arguably some of the best drives of my life on that hole. I've also had arguably some of the worst drives I've had in my life on that hole. And once again, it was one of those things that was just a regular course that like we always played, me and my dad, like when we were growing up, when I was just kind of playing golf, you know, maybe 4 times a year type thing. When I was a lot younger, you know, Father's Day and stuff like that. We would play Brambleton. We would play Algonquin a bunch, hence a majority of mine kind of bring that up.
But, good memories.
But it's one of those things where like you get to that hole, especially after number 5, if you have like a, you know, good hole in that, like, you know, it leads up to it to where like, you're like, all right, let me go ahead and rip one. And I think I can clear that water and try and cut that corner. And arguably, I probably most of the time take too much of an aggressive corner, but, and come up short, or, you know, I just barely kick on and kick over. But I mean, you know, it feels good to clear that water when you're taking an aggressive line. Set yourself up. It's got a big, huge green that's not really protected by anything in the front. It's protected on it on the sides, left side, right
it's
side.
Pretty open.
But the hole leading up to it is wide open to the point where you could top a ball. If you clear the water, you could top a ball and probably run it up onto the green. But it's a good hole to kind of try and score on if you're risking it. And obviously if you play it safe, you can play it safe and get there and do as well. But
I'm going to go out on a limb, and for both of us, the reason that hole sticks into our heads so much is because for so many years, technology did not allow you to hit a draw. Everything was a fade.
Yeah.
So you can actually aim it out over the water and
fade it back
all the way back in. And you had 120 yards to do that. And I think, so that was always a hole I never had to worry about losing my golf. Well, now I've hit plenty into the water, but it was one of those, you hit it out there and it just kind of settled, came back, and it just made you feel like you were playing a little fade, although it was just a giant slice.
Exactly. You're like, I meant to do that. I did.
Yeah. And there is a bunker out there in the fairway far to the right, but I can't say that's something that's ever really came into play.
Nah, I think, much, I but. Mean, if you're hitting it straight over the right edge of the pond, but
not.
If you're taking an aggressive line, a very aggressive line, you know, type thing from rounders, if I'm going to be very aggressive, I'm going to go over the middle of that pond and try and cut it. And you know what? When you do that, you feel like Bryson DeChambeau when he hit the 370-yard drive over the water there.
Well, we tried to drive number 1 at Bethpage today in a practice round. So we'll see how that goes this weekend. So, all right. So I'm headed back to Raspberry Falls. I'm headed back to another par 5. We like our par 5s here. We like to see how far we can hit it. And this is one of the, I would say this is one of the further par 5s in Loudon. You take away that stretch on Norman where that 600-yard hole, but this is pretty up there. This hole's called Grant's Tomb. It's number 12 at Raspberry. No, I'm sorry. It's number 11 at Raspberry.
Oh, yes.
And it is the one where you are literally aiming at a gigantic boulder in the middle of the fairway.
Yep.
And then you are trying to hit it as far as you possibly can, and you still can't get to the green, but there is like a 20-foot bunker that protects the green because the green's very much elevated. Just a long hole. I know you can kind of just blow it as far as you can on one and still find it. on the tee box and still find it. But the second shot, you do have to kind of hone it in a little bit, but you can catch the speed slot that takes you all the way down to where you're mm-hmm. about 60 yards out from the green. So tough that's green. Actually, I think it slopes back to front as well, too. But that's a good hole. I mean, I think 10 on Raspberry is, I think on one of mine, is what a gorgeous hole, too, where the mm-hmm. islands, the green sticks out to a little bit to the water. And then you go 10, 11, and then, you know, 12 is what it is, but you bring 13 to that par three in. And it's a good little stretch there. You know, Gary Player did a good job.
He did.
I wish it was in a little bit better shape all the time. I'd probably play it a little bit more, but I think, like we've always said, the price tag there is just a little, right. little stingy. So,
yeah.
But before we hit to our number one, you know, please like, subscribe. Drop us a comment if you have some different holes that you are thinking here in Loudoun or even local places that you have that we would come check out. Or heck, if you want to challenge us to a round of golf, we are more than welcome to meet you somewhere, you know, anywhere in the area. And, you know, we have some fun with it, have a good time, and check us out. But make sure to like, subscribe, listen to our comments, and, you know, keep following along as we try to have some more conversations like this that we're going to kind of bring in some architecture, some different type of golf things, and, of course, talk about our fitness. And hopefully talk about some other things that help us look good on the golf course coming up here pretty soon in the future. But Greg, number one.
Number one, it's already been said, but Raspberry Falls, number three.
Number three. That's your number one?
This one, number one.
Yeah.
Anything where I can watch my ball in the air for what seems like 10 to 12 seconds.
Well, you're going to like mine then.
It just seems, it's once again, it's an elevated tee box. You feel like you can just grip it and rip it because unbeknownst to like Trump number one, where something seems tight, you look down on that hole and it looks like it 400 yards wide. And
I've hit it 500 yards wide.
Exactly. I've hit it at about 20 times before too. But it's one of those things where like, you just feel like a big dog when like you catch the downhill slope and it just keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling. And next thing you know, like you're driving your cart for what seems like 10 minutes to find your ball.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a good,
I mean, awful. it's a great view. You get it out and
it is way up. The tee box is way up there. And I don't think I've only played the tips there maybe once, twice in my time. And, you know, my golf team, and when I was coaching golf as a head coach, we played a lot of practice stuff there. So it's a good hole. It's definitely a good hole. It's definitely one, if you are in the area, Raspberry Falls should be something that you're looking to get yourself onto. Maybe call and ask to see what type of shape it's in. But if it's in good shape, it's something that's worth playing. There are a lot of good holes, which you could tell. I mean, I think we have either three or four of them here in our top 20 alone, if not five. But I'm going to take your elevated tee box, and I'm going to bring back a par five, and I'm going to go to my home course, number five at Stone Lee. It is a similar, not as high up because you are way up on the mountain already as the whole hole, and it just plays down. It's about a 525, 530 yard par five from the back. It probably plays 470.
Yeah.
It's playing that much. So once you get off the tee, I know anything inside like 190, 180, I mean, all you have to do is hit nine iron there, play like a 160 shot, 155 shot to get yourself all the way down to the green. It's a true scoring hole. It is a hole you can put some big numbers up. The pin's guarded by a bunker in the front with a rock wall, another rock wall, a little bit bigger of a rock wall, more boulders into this one. And, you know, left, you got some tree trouble. Right, you got some tree trouble. There is a tree that overhangs the right side of the green. But it's just one of the prettier holes, I think, in Loudoun. And I would say, and not to continue what we've been talking about, but when I was coaching golf, I remember one of the first time I played there, it was like a rain was starting to fall. And it was one of those times where you hit your golf ball and it almost looked like it was a crystal in the air. And I hit a dead straight, perfect drive. And it was like, even I had high school kids looking at like, that was actually one of the coolest things because it just looked like a crystal going 280, 290 out there, and ended up eagling the hole that day. So it was one of the first times I played with the big boys on the team because I was just an assistant coach. And I was like, oh yeah, here we go. You won't talk what I did on 4 and 6. You know, that would sandwich that. But
you walked off that hole with your chest a little pumped up.
I did. I mean, you know, Stoneleigh's got that. You got 3 is a par 5 that's reachable. 4 is a killer of a hole. 5 par 5 are reachable, and 6 is a tough par 3 as well too. So, you know, usually you can go birdie bogey on that stretch, and then it will you can kind of even things out. You know, if you get lucky and throw in a up and down on the par 3s that I can't hit the greens on, you maybe come out of there 1 under. So, just a beautiful. It's always one I love telling people about. It's one that I just tell them to go grip it and rip it, and you know, you could still go OB, you can still go right. You can play off 2 green like I've done before as well.
Over the stone wall.
Over the wall.
I have a video. Different. I think we posted a video of that a couple
times. We did. That's the only time I've ever, well, knock on wood. I'm playing Friday, so I'll probably find it over there. You catch that thing downwind, you can hit a 350-yard bomb too. It's just a good old. It's a good old. So, you know, I hope everybody's enjoyed, you know, talking about our top 20. Greg, you have any other honorable mentions you want to throw out there? Or is that kind
I got honorable kind of mentions that basically holes that already talked about, but I subbed out for other ones. But let's say number 13, RTJ, par 3, downhill, just like you called out.
Talked about that one.
Number 18, Raspberry Falls, par 5. We called it already. Number 18, Trump. And then I'm going to throw out just another kind of cool, rather easy par 3, but my home course, South Riding, number 13, over water. You know, it's not a hard hole. It probably plays at the longest from the tips, even if it's all the way in the back of the green, probably 160 yards, maybe.
It's a tough hole when it's back.
Right.
The front, it's more inviting. It's a tough one.
You only really got trouble on the left side, which is the bunkers all along the left side, and then obviously the water carry. But it, you know, it's a cool little hole over water. There's not many holes that are over water on that course. So, you know, it's one of those things where I threw it in there as an honorable mention.
You definitely could have thrown in, you know, number 1 at Goose Creek. Over the parking lot, the lot there.
Oh yeah, that's
going true. Over the water. 2 coming back when they put the green in front of the creek. It was always pretty cool. Always thought you could drive it, but no one really could. Then they had the back-to-back par fives on the back where you had to wear army helmets because most people played from the opposite fairways.
Mm-hmm. The par 3 at 9 because most of the time they put it off the clubhouse.
Yeah. So it's a they had some good ones there. West Park, same thing. 18 was a par 3 over the water.
Yeah.
Tough little hole. Started off with a par 5 right down the middle, down the chute there. Then they had, was it, 2, 3.
Back in my fade days,
five, where you could drive the green when you're way back in the neighborhood.
That's true.
You went one way and then you came back and you're like, you can just grip it and try how far you can hit it.
Number 1, back in my fade days, I won't even tell you how many balls I peppered off of those apartments there.
Luckily, those apartments were brick.
Yeah.
So sometimes you got some good kicks and sometimes you didn't, but you know, when I played that, it was a lot of times I wasn't keeping as much score back in the days. Definitely. Oh, I had first team.
Those were fun course. Rounds more so.
But what West Park was
a solid course. I don't care what anybody says. It was a solid course. It was never in great shape, but it was always in like playable good shape.
You know, he'll bring it back. But yeah, if anyone's got, you know, opportunities, we'd love to, you know, take a couple more looks at Creighton and maybe Belmont, but, you know, Beacon Hill that just opened up. I want to give us a shout out there. Maybe we can go talk about your course online here. But, you know, like, subscribe, follow, leave us a comment. Check us out on all your social media accounts. Check us out on wherever you like look at podcasts. Check us out on YouTube. We are out there. We've got a lot of stuff coming up in the future. We're going to have to sit down and talk about major number 5. Maybe I can get off the snide where I keep losing, where Greg can keep up his streak that is getting pretty much out of hand now. So we need to figure out a way to stop that. But check us out. But
in the comments, they should just tell us what we should do for major number 6 or major number 5.
Major number
sorry,
five.
I was right, thinking. I was thinking of my 6, Pete. Sorry. Basically what format we should play for major number 5, because last year we did a 36 home and home match play.
They did,
and
I don't know if that was final major, but it was
or no, that was major number 4. You're right. final major.
But yeah, definitely let us know.
Stroke.
Somehow we got to keep it a little bit more competitive and go from there. But check us out. We'll see you next week on the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast.